wonderful experience, amen, that you can find for yourself. Amen. My daddy raised me. You know, they say if you train up a child in the ways of the Lord, when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Amen. He'll return. I believe that with all of my heart. My dad raised me. My family raised me. My mom and dad raised me. My dad did. In Pentecost, I was about 5 years old. My mom quit going to church around when I was around 4 years old. But a few months later that my dad, because my mom was getting out and he thought to save his marriage, he could save it by going with her. Because she was doing things opposite, he was going one way, she was going another. But he ended up losing the family around about the age of 10. But that raising I got from 0 to 5, though I was raised from 5 to 14 in an unsaved, backslid home, it never left me. What I saw, what I tasted, hallelujah, stayed there. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says that, again, if you train him up, and if I get that right, in studying, and some people may get other things, but if you study, amen, come across the same word for train up, amen, a child, is one of the same words that they use, even Greek and Hebrew, that you can use for a child that it will not suck when it's born. And when that child would not eat or would not suck from its mother, if nature did not teach it to suck, they would take a certain kind of fruit, I believe it was a date, and rub it in the roof of the mouth, which would create such a dryness that in spite of that child's rebellion not to suck or the nature not to suck, it would begin to suck because of the dryness of its mouth. And I believe with all of my heart, if you will get your child, amen, a hunger for God, create in them a desire, amen, no matter how far in that world they go, can you say amen, they'll have to come back because there's nothing in that world satisfy them, amen, like the glory of God. Can we give the man of this house, Brother Eastman, and this wonderful board a wonderful hand clap tonight? Come on. Amen. I'm telling you. It is an honor to be in. It is one of the greatest honors on the face of this earth to ever be asked to stand in a man's pulpit or a people's pulpit. It's one of the greatest honor and privileges that I receive, and I count it an honor and do not take it lightly. It's my first time into Pennsylvania, and you have treated me so well, me and my son, and my wife would have loved to have been here, but she's 4 weeks from having our third child, and she has been sick all week, so we just knew it wasn't a good timing. The doctor didn't want her flying, and so be in much prayer for her, but she wished she could have been here. You have made us feel so at home. And we are thankful for that. The hospitality is tremendous. And I love your spirit and your fellowship. And we thank God for you. Amen. Glad to have Brother Baker and Brother Calicott with us tonight. Amen. I've met them in my past. Amen. Hadn't seen them in a long time. But it's good to see them tonight. And I count it an honor. You know, when I got saved, I got all them tapes from L.L. Collins when I was a child, teenager. And that's what I lived on in that backslid home. That's what I listened to. You'd hear a lot of these guys, and they were my heroes. Amen. Preachers were my heroes in my teenage years. And I'll never forget the night I was in the same building with Brother Collins. Amen. I said, I cannot believe I'm in the same building. I'm in the same building with L.L. Collins. Amen. And I was that way with all them preachers when I got to me, and they was just heroes. And I thank God, amen, for my heroes. Amen. And we're just glad to be here. You're going to help us tonight, aren't you? Brother Eastman said he might have hurt, amen, dampened the service. I don't think truth's going to dampen the service. Amen. When I started my church, and I'm just getting to the word, when I started my church, amen, we pioneered a work. And from my home church, love my pastor, tremendous man of God. Amen. But you learn things, good qualities, and you learn some, amen, that you want to do. You try to, you know, like Pastor said tonight, that you may do a little different. And there's one thing that I didn't like. That I wanted to do is I wanted to be just as tough on inward holiness as he, amen, as you are outward wholeness. Can you say amen? I had a family started coming to my church. I was starting my church. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said it from the pulpit. I said, there's one thing I will not put up with here. I said, I will not put up you running your mouth. Amen. And I said, if I catch you running your mouth, I said, if you leave here and say anything outside, I will get in this pulpit, call your name out, and tell the whole church what you said. Shut that down. Amen. She got so mad at me. She did. This lady got so mad at me. She called me a dictator. Amen. And I said, well, Lord of mercy. Amen. And then on top of that, not only did she say that, but they wouldn't quit. And so I did. I'd get up and say what they said. And I had a lady come to me and said, Brother Gray, they won't quit calling me and bother me. I said, call and block their phone call. I said, now some of you have been running your mouth. I said, I told people to block your phone. They come to me and said, Brother Greg, about five families blocked our phone calls. I said, I know. I told them to. Amen. There ain't no sense in you talking on the phone like that. Can you say amen? Boy, I'm going to make it worse, brother. Amen. Praise God. But I love holiness. Can you shout amen? But I want to portray it in such a way, amen, that people can have no excuse when they leave me. Why they don't want to serve God and why they don't love holiness. I want to cause people to love old time Pentecost. Got some ladies in my church just brand new. They don't look holiness and as far as the image and the standards, but they're on their way. Amen. And I had one of them grab me the other day in the altar. She's just a crying. Somebody had made a statement to her that she's saying, you going to Brother Greg's church? Yes. Amen. They made a remark to her about her standard that she said, well, you ain't lining up to the standards yet, or something to that effect. And she grabbed me crying. She said, they just don't understand. I'm now loving what I one time hated. Amen. Praise God. Because somebody hurt her and wounded her. Amen. And some of the worst wounds that can happen comes by religious people. But I'm telling you what I said the other night, I'm going to say it again. 3 o'clock in the morning, some of the hardest wounds I've ever had came from people who looked good. And I was crying. 3 o'clock in the night. Amen. I said, God, you got to help me. Saw my Bible illuminated, walked over it and said, if I please men, Galatians, I shall. If I please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. What Paul said. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, the people may be wrong, but my principles and precepts are not. And if you leave my word, I cannot anoint you. If you leave my word, I cannot use you. But if you stay with my word, can you shout amen? So many get hurt and run the opposite direction, and they lose sanctification. But I'm glad to still hold the doctrine of sanctification tonight, aren't you? Let's look tonight. Oh, God, help me preach this. Amen. You sure are quiet for me to preach this kind of message. And amen. It would have been better for you to have been quiet last night, because that one is a quiet message. This one's not a quiet one. Amen. And tonight you're quiet. So let's look tonight to the book of Exodus chapter number 3, if the Lord will help us. Exodus chapter number 3. Amen. Exodus chapter number 3. The Bible says, this is God speaking to Moses, stand for the reading of the word at the burning bush. The Bible says in verse number 7, God is talking to Moses, said, I want you to know, amen, I'm coming down to deliver my people here at the burning bush. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down. Can you shout amen? I am come down, God says, to deliver, amen, them out of the hand of the Egyptians. But I've not only come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, but I've come to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and a place unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Can you shout amen? I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up and out of that land unto a good land and a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Father God of heaven, tonight in the name of Jesus, we have so many incapabilities in our own heart and life, God, that would cause us not to be able to bring about change in people's life. But if you would anoint us tonight, your anointing makes up the difference in all of it. Oh, God, we're just mere man behind a mere wooden podium on a mere wooden platform. Oh, Father, we need your anointing. All we can do is say what you've said to us to say. But, oh, if you don't unction it and water it down, Lord, will your spirit and overshadow it and use it for your glory. We can do nothing. Now do what only you can do through the preaching of the word. Oh, that you might be glorified through the foolishness of preaching. Use us tonight. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your heart with your hands. Ask God to, Father, change me tonight. Start with my mind. Move it into my heart. Rearrange my way of thinking. Let me leave here tonight full of the Holy Ghost. On fire for God, ready to change my city. In the name of the Boshiramatabahaya. In the name of Jesus. The church said amen and hallelujah. So we begin to look into the Word of God tonight. I love the Scripture. Amen. Dealing with us. You could find the gospel in about every verse in this Bible. One elder preacher said that if you preach a message, you need to bring it to Christ. Amen. The Old Testament is about Him. It's His story. Amen. It's history. It's His story. Amen. It's bringing us to this great salvation that you and I are so involved in. I've been in ministry long enough that I don't know. When I was younger, I loved it when God would confirm to me that I had the right message to preach by something that would be said in a service. But I've been in it long enough that I don't have to have that. But it sure does feel good when you do have it. Amen. And last night, the message is in tongues, just lying right up. Night before, amen, Pastor Eastman said something. Again tonight, Brother Andrews begins to sing that song. We're going up, going to take the land. Amen. Going to possess the milk and honey. Amen. And we begin to read this Bible. There's gospel in it all. Amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we begin to see here, amen, everything that happens to this Jewish family, to the Hebrew family, the family of God is a representation. What all goes on with them physically is happening with you and I spiritually. What takes the place in their lives in the Old Testament, amen, we are going to face spiritual Red Seas and spiritual taskmasters. And so there are foreshadowing of things that are going to come. And so as we begin to see this, amen, we find it here. Here we are, right in the middle of this Old Testament. Amen. The foreshadowing of it. It happened to them physically, but it happened to you and I spiritually. Even right now as we're speaking, you watch them. What happens in them physically, amen, God is doing in us spiritually. They're feeling the call to go home around this world. They're moving by the hundreds. Amen. 600, they said, amen, left in one day out of New York City after 9/11. Amen. Piled out of here, moving to Jerusalem. Why? They feel a pull back to their homeland. God said He's going to do it in the last days. So what He does with them physically, He does with us spiritually. There is a pull and a draw from across this world. Amen. In the hearts of any man, woman, boy, girl that has a hunger for God to come back to Pentecost. Come back to the power of God. Come back to the anointing of the Lord. Amen. Our programs haven't got it done. Our ideas haven't got it done. We must have Pentecost again. We must lay in that floor prostrate till heaven comes and fills us once again with His glory and His power. As we begin to look into this tonight, we find that God here, amen, has raised up a family. He started in Abraham. He said it all the way back in Genesis. Amen. When Adam and Eve had sinned, I'm going to raise me up a seed who's going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel. The Bible says that He calls Abraham up
and out of his own land into a land that he knew not of. Where are we going? God never told Abraham where he's going. Why? It's going to take a relationship to get you there. If God spoke to you and told you where you're going, Abraham, you would just pack your bags and move there. But you got to have a relationship, because you don't know where you're going but day by day. Can you shout amen? Had a young preacher in my church. Got several, about five in my church. Amen. One of them come to me, just had an offer. Amen. To youth pastor. Amen. A wonderful position. Amen. Going to get paid really more than I do in my, as far as salary, getting a house and insurance and, amen, two phones, a house phone, cell phone. Amen. It was just security laid in his lap. Amen. But he just felt the call to evangelize. Amen. And so he turned it all down to stay on the field and stay there and help us when he's home. I said, boy, you better know God's talking to you. I said, because that sure is a good opportunity for you. Amen. But he said, Brother Greg, I don't understand. I've been fasting, been praying. Amen. And God ain't spoke to me yet. And I got to talking in Sunday school that morning. I said, about being in God's office. Amen. Anybody ever been in God's office? I mean, you'll sit for days and God not say a word. I mean, you're pouring your heart out and talking to him and he never say anything. That one boy started saying amen and crying. You know, he's right in the middle. He said, I've been, and man, I'm telling you, he's just getting with me on that. And I said, that's right. I said, but why does he want us to stay in that office? I wonder why he don't speak to us for weeks. Amen. I was going through something one time like that. And I said, Lord, I've been sitting here talking to you, fasting, praying, spending more time than I ever have with you the last few weeks. You know, we have our certain prayer times, but then when there's trouble or something we need, we spend a whole lot more time. And I was praying. I said, Lord, why don't you just speak to me? Amen. And the Lord, the sweet preciousness of the Spirit of the Lord, said to my heart, if I gave you the answer right of the way, you'd have ran out of here. You ever thought I'd just like you being here? Hallelujah. I just like you being here. I said to that young boy, you ever thought, son, he just likes having you in the office? If he spoke to you the first day, you'd have ran out of there and went and did what you're supposed to do. But you've been there for 3 or 4 weeks just lingering there. Just you and him. What he wants out of you is a relationship. He says, I'm not going to tell you, Abraham, where I'm going to take you. I'm just telling you to go. But every day you got to stay close to me, son. You got to live right with me. Got to talk to me every day. And if you live with me every day, I'll get you to where I'm going to take you. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you where we're going, but you got to stay with me. Amen. Why is it God wants fellowship with me? God wants to fellowship with you. So he calls Abraham to a land that he knows not of. He leaves it all to go find this land. He's in search of it. We find him the man of God who walks with God. Amen. He became the friend of God. When he prayed, God, amen, stood in attention, came down. The Bible says he had such a relationship with the Lord. You're going to help me preach tonight, aren't you? I know it's Wednesday night. It's hump night. It's the middle of the week. And Wednesday nights are sometimes the toughest nights of the revival or camp. Amen. But we're going to have church anyway. Amen. I'm telling you, Abraham, seeking God, he's praying. The Bible said, and what I love about, he's a friend of God. Can you imagine? Amen. Talking, good God. Amen. In such a relationship. Amen. That God says to him, amen, comes down. Amen. To where he's at. He's a praying. He said, oh God. God said to him, shall I, or he come down to visit Abraham. And about, and read the scripture. It's in Genesis. The Bible said, as the Lord began to leave, he said, shall I hide from him what I'm about to do tomorrow? Amen. What a relationship. Shall I hide from him what I'm about to do tomorrow? God said, no, I'm going to tell him. And when he did, Abraham fell on his knees and built an altar and said, oh, Father, peradventure. Amen. If you could find 50 people in Rhineland, Sodom and Gomorrah that would be righteous, would you spare it for 50? And the God of this universe, moved by the common man, Abraham said, yes, I'll spare it for 50 righteous. Amen. And be about that time, Abraham said, but oh, Father, what if there be but 40? Would you spare it for 40? He said, yes, I'd spare it for 40. Then you listen to this conversation. He said, be not angry with me. He said, but if there be but 30, would you spare it for 30? And universe and I'll spare it. Oh, what a relationship. And the Bible even went on to say, amen, that Abraham, when he got through praying, got up. Amen. Most of the time God came down and then went. Amen. But the Bible said Abraham got up and then the Lord left. Which let us know that a God would have stayed as long as Abraham stayed. I said, God would have stayed. Oh, what a relationship. What a walk with God. Amen. Then we have him. Amen. Abraham passes it to Isaac. Isaac is 50-50. Abraham walked with God 100%. Amen. Isaac's a half and half. He's half fleshly, half carnal. He's carrying the seed of God. But revival comes. Can you shout amen? And Isaac prays through and becomes a man that God desires him to be. In other words, if you could to him, we got an Isaac generation too. Can you shout amen? Amen. Whether we have a good service or not. Well, if we do good, if we don't, fine. It doesn't matter to us. Amen. Are you listening to me? It's 50-50. You want this land? The devil said it. The enemy said, I want this land. Isaac said, you take it. I'll move over here. He got over there and started digging a well. They wanted it too, so he left there and went over here. And he said, in other words, I'm not going to struggle but until he prayed through. And when he prayed through, the enemies of God said, don't you bother us. We'll let you have any land that you desire. And they found water. Amen. Then we find that he passes it on to his son. Amen. Jacob, who is 100% in the carnal nature. Are you seeing how the generation folds? But yet God brought revival to Jacob. But you see, it's all about bringing us, amen, to this land. He's going to lead us into a land that flows with milk and honey. Now we have them grow. They went from a family, amen, of just a few, to now they're a family, amen, of 100 or more, 200 or more. Amen. Jacob births, amen, his 12 sons. Amen. Brings them in. Amen. Joseph's born. Amen. We find them ending up in the land of Egypt. His brothers pushed him to Egypt, but God had a plan for the Spencer to provide for his people. I'm glad God is a sovereign God, and he knows just about him. He knows just what's going on. Can you shout amen? I'm telling you, he had it all in his hands. Amen. Joseph is put there, amen, to bring provision to his brothers. Amen. To bring provision for the seed of God. They're going to survive. You want to know why? God's hands on them. Israel is going to survive because they've been marked by God. You and I are going to survive because we've been marked by God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. If it took care of you, he's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. You believe this or not? Brother Brian McDonald's a great friend of mine, a wonderful preacher. Amen. Down in Corpus Christi, Texas. He was preaching camp meeting last week on the camp meeting. I got to go, amen, for 2 nights just to hear preaching myself. Amen. Didn't have any part in that meeting. I wanted to ride up and just hear preaching. Amen. Brother Brian got to preaching a wonderful message. And he brought out where the Bible said the angels are going to go down and mark them whose side. Amen. Over the nation, who sighed over the wickedness. God said, mark them. Amen. Then he sent angels down and said, kill all of them who doesn't have the mark. But what I love about what Brother Brian said, he started talking about the mark. He said, the devil couldn't kill. He said, my grandpa was in World War II. Amen. Are you listening to me? He said to him right there on this 4th of July, amen. He said, grandpa, tell me about your stories. He said, well, son, I only killed one man my whole entire time that I was there. He said, I was a medic. And he said, his grandpa went through a lot remembering what he went through. He said, but they was all of one time. He said, grandpa finally broke down and told him. He said, I was helping a young man. He said, one of them Japs raised up from the mud. Amen. He said, I shot and killed him. He said, to survive. Brother MacDonald said it like this. He said, I believe my grandpa survived because God knew, amen, that, amen, I was going to be here tonight preaching this gospel. Amen. Brother Brian said that he was in Africa, amen, 3 or 4 weeks ago in Nairobi. There was a certain explosion took place that destroyed one building. A Muslim came in, set himself off, and exploded and killed. I haven't seen it or heard it on the news. Amen. Don't know much about it, but he had been there the week before the explosion. Amen. In there every other day, emailing his wife and making phone calls. The preacher that was with him called and told him. Brother Brian said, you know what? He said, when that man told me that, said, fear gripped my heart. He said, but the Holy Ghost came on me and said he would have liked to have done it the week you were there, but I wouldn't allow him. Amen. Got my hand on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph don't have a clue where he's at, but God's got his hand on it. We're living in a generation, some of us don't know where we are and where we're going, but the fact is God's got his hand. Wow! Amen. He brings him to the land of Egypt. Now all of a sudden, where are we going to be? I got to hurry. This end up in two nights of message if I don't hurry. Amen. Praise God. You see, he brings them into Egypt. Now God set them up for what he desires. He's going to incubate them for the next 400 and something years. They're going to become from hundreds and several hundred family members to million. Amen. By the time the Bible says they raised the Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 1, who knew not Joseph, who didn't honor him. And so he made them slaves. They were slaves. They had taskmasters over them. Amen. Are you still with me tonight? And so this family has incubated. They have grown. They have multiplied. And if you read Exodus chapter number 1, it's amazing to me. For the Bible said that Pharaoh raised up that knew not Joseph and said, boys, we've got a problem in Egypt. What's that problem? That nation, that group of people we've had living here, being our slaves, has outgrown us. There's more of them, amen, than there are us. It's a different message, but it'll fit right here, right now. There's more of them than there are of us. Amen. They have outgrown us. And he said, in other words, anytime they desire to, all they've got to do is get them somebody who will cause them to get stirred up. They could take over Egypt. Not only are they more of them than they are us, the Bible said the more they push them and press them, the more they multiplied. They've got enough people in the land of Egypt to take Egypt over. Not only that, he said, and they're stronger than we are. We've been running around with a bunch of whips whipping them, and they've been carrying the mortar, and they've been carrying the rock, and they've been carrying all the tools. If they wanted to, amen, one of them could whip five of us. Not only are they more of them than they are us, but they're stronger and mightier than what we are. Somebody help me preach. Amen. Hallelujah. If they knew who they were. Amen. Come on here. I'm not in this charismatic stuff that says God saw something good in you. He didn't see anything good in you except your hunger for Him. Ain't not one good thing in this flesh. This flesh can't glory in nothing. Can you shout amen? We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and in truth. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. We know where our strength comes from. We know where our power comes from. But there's some of you sitting under bondage tonight that you don't have to sit under if you'd realize what God has already did in your life. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So we find out they could have took it over. So you know what the devil says? Keep it quiet. Don't let them find out who they are. If them bunch of Hebrew boys and women find out that they're stronger than we are, so we find out right there that the devil's mind. Oh, somebody help me preach tonight. He got in Adam and Eve's mind. He said, hath God said. He got them to thinking. And now Pharaoh says, let's keep it quiet. If they find out this, they'll take us over. So he begins to press them. But in the middle of that pressing, God says, I'm going to provide me a way out right here. Amen. Kill all the firstborn children, or all the firstborn males. If a male's born, you slay him. Amen. But the very thing that the enemy wanted to do, God used to take care of, make provision for his people. I know you heard it 100 times, but Bible said that now Moses is born. He's hid for 3 months, could no longer be hid because he's crying. His mama places him in that bulrush and sets him down. His little sister runs down that river, and the very river they're drowning all the other babies in. Hallelujah. God used to float his baby right under the hands of the daughter of Pharaoh. I want you to know, young man, young woman, the reason why you've not drowned in this world ain't got nothing to do with your ability. It's got everything to do with the ability of God Almighty on your life. Some of you young boys that's been playing in sin. Some of you young girls that's been playing in sin. Come on here. Are you helping me preach tonight? You should have done went down. You should have done drowned. You should have done died. You should have done been consumed. But God's got his hand on your life. I said, Bahashanda Mahaya. I said, God's got his hand on your life. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. The streets of California should have drowned you. Hallelujah. He told me at Thanksgiving 1 year, he was with me. We adopted him, Brother Calicott, and Brother Baker looked at me when Brother Frazier said, my son, amen, because they know me, amen. Said, that ain't your son. Amen. Hallelujah. He's my adopted son. Amen. We took Brother Mike Blue called, or the youth camp told me about them. They were living in Alabama. Amen. In a foster family. Amen. The mom asked me to take him, and we did. God has blessed him. You'd never know that he eat out of the garbage can in Los Angeles, California, from the time he was 2 years old till he was 10 years old. Amen. He said, Dad, the greatest Thanksgiving we ever had. We was headed to my grandpa's one day. I mean, they have big spread in my family. You can tell. Amen. We're all about my size. Amen. I'm telling you, it's wonderful. Amen. We was head down there, and he don't talk much about his past, but he got quiet. Brother Calcon, I said, oh, it's wrong with you, son, today. He said, I'm just thinking, Dad, it was one of the greatest Thanksgivings we ever had. Amen. His mom and daddy would take him in and out of their home. They didn't just put them out on the streets, but 3 weeks they had put them out on the streets, and they'd take them in for a night or two, then kick them back out, and then bring them back in. He said, but one time my dad found us on the streets, amen, we had found a turkey in the garbage, amen, that the grocery store had outdated and was no longer any good. He said, we brought that turkey home and cooked it, amen, and we ate the best Thanksgiving that I can remember as a child. The streets of California should have swallowed him up. According to statistics, he should be a murderer, a head of a gang. But you want to know what? God had his hand on his life. Floated him down that river. You nor me can never stand in his presence and say, I found you. No, no, no. He found me. Hallelujah. Wow. Shout amen. Hallelujah. Moses floats down that river, lands in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. She looks around and says, oh, what a prayer. Amen. Don't you know he cried at the right time? One black preacher said, amen, he believed the angel of the Lord pinched him on the leg. Amen. Made him cry at the right time. Amen. But I want you to know, she looked around and said, amen, what am I going to do? I need a Hebrew mother. Amen. There's Moses' sister. Said, I got the right woman for the job. When got Moses' mama. Moses' mama took care of him. And Pharaoh clothed his own enemy. Dressed him, taught him, fed him, trained him. Hallelujah. Clothed him, fed him, trained him. Amen. He looked like an Egyptian. He walked like an Egyptian. He talked like an Egyptian. But there's something inside Moses said, I don't belong in this house. And the Bible said when he came to his mind, he realized and he said, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Are you listening to me tonight? And the Bible says that he tried to do it on his own and he couldn't do it. Are you listening to me? He tried to take over Egypt. He's going to do it on his own. I'm going to fight. But God said, you're not ready, because he thought he could do it of his own accord. But God put him in that back 40 of that wilderness. He incubated him for 80 more years. Are you listening to me? What I love about God, amen, is God's already working, amen, way before he ever lets you know he's a working. Amen. God heard their cry 80 years before when he kept that baby in his hands. But they cried another 80 years wondering where God was. And God said, I done heard you 80 years ago. I knew it. But what I love about God is he told Abraham, I'm going to take you down. I'm going to put you in bondage. But I promise you, I'm going to bring your people out. I'm going to take them into a... Guess what, honey? All you got to do is stay in. All you got to stay is connected. All you got to do is stay subjected. Hallelujah. We're going out of here. We're going to make it. I don't care what we go through between now and then. We're going to make it. Hallelujah. God said to Abraham, I'm going to be in bondage so many years, but I'm going to bring you out. Somebody said he missed it. Can you shout amen? No, God didn't miss it. Somebody said they was there 420 years. Hallelujah. You're exactly right. He was. But for the first 20, they were under Joseph. Amen. Are you listening to me? 400 years of bondage. God says to Moses, on the back 40 of 80 some years old, and a burning bush. Are you still with me tonight? He says to him, take your shoes off, Moses. The ground you stand on is holy ground. He said, I've come. I'm going to send you into Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And the Bible says that Moses had a speech problem. And he said, but God, I can't. And God said, yes, you can. Hallelujah. But I tried 40 years ago. Yes, you're exactly right. You tried. Hallelujah. And but now that you think you can't, I can. Hallelujah. But by the time I tell Pharaoh what you said, amen, they all be dead. Hallelujah. Because I got a speech problem. So that's all right. Done worked it out. Got Aaron going to go with you. He's going to be your mouthpiece. Are you here to help me to preach tonight? What's he representing? Egypt represents us in our sin, in our bondage, with the taskmasters. Are you listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Moses represents Christ coming to set us free. Moses walked into that land. Are you listening? Said to Moses, Pharaoh, let my people go. Now I want you to notice something here. Amen. Pharaoh being who he was and the kingdom he was in could have flat out said there ain't no way on the face of the earth. But Pharaoh knew something. Come on here. He knew they were stronger than he was. He knew they were more than he was. Are you listening to me? So he started trying to work out a deal with Moses. I want to ask you, why in the world would a man of his caliber, with his stature of a kingdom, want to work out a deal? Because he knew, amen, they would nothing he could do about stopping them from coming out. I come to tell somebody here tonight, you may be in sin, and you may be in the bondage of darkness and the filth of this flesh, but Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago broke the chains of darkness and said it's finished, that you can rise tonight and be free. Why is it the devil started dealing with you when you come to church tonight you got saved? Remember what he said? Hallelujah. First of all, he told you not to go. He had to try to talk you out of going. But then when you made up your mind you was going, he sat there and said, all right, now you just stay right here. It's all right that you're here, but you just stay right here. But then the Lord got to moving, and he said, no, don't you go down there. You too bad. Come on here. Amen. You've done too many things. Why was the devil trying to make a deal with us? Because he knew there was nothing he could do if we wanted to get saved. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the God of this world blinds our eyes that we may not see the light of the glorious gospel. What he's trying to do is show, try to prove to you, you can't be free. You can't get out of the bondage. But when the light shines in, you realize the door's already open. All you got to do is walk out of it. Hallelujah. Then how many remembers what he told you when you got out of your seat? And you headed down the aisle. He said, just don't go too far. Don't get too much in it. Amen. He keeps changing his deal. That same thing Pharaoh did. Moses said, you're going to let my people go? No, yes, no, no, yes, no. And they argued there for a few days and had to be some famine come in, some pestilence come in. Come on here. Finally, Moses and Pharaoh said, all right, I'll let you go, but y'all just worship here. We'll let you worship. Y'all just worship here. Amen. But Moses looked at him and said, no, sir, we can't worship here. Amen. We got to go out yonder because we're going to kill your gods, sacrifice them to our God, and y'all get mad and kill us, so we ain't worshiping here, we're going out yonder. Well, Pharaoh, when he come back, said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you go, but we're just going to let the men go. Amen. The women and the children got to stay. Anybody here with me? Moses said, no, sir, we're going to take all of our people. I'm taking my wives and we're taking our children. We're going to take it all. Are you listening to me? Then Pharaoh says, well, all right. He comes back to him out of the pesa. Amen. Says, all right, the plagues. Amen. Well, you can go and take the women and the children, but you just leave your cows. You just leave something here. Now, why was Pharaoh trying to get them to leave something there? Because he knew if they got out there and they still had family in here or still had cattle in here, then they would want to return to get what they had. Hallelujah. Ain't that like the devil did you? Don't go all the way. Amen. Don't you get in too far. Don't you sell out. Amen. Are you listening to me? But I want you to know, not only did God break the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt and brought them out of the land of Egypt with a powerful hand, not only did they take their land, their cattle, not only did they take their wives and their children, but the Bible said that last night of that last plague, that they piled it up on them. Not only did they take their stuff, they took half of Egypt with them. I want you to know, how many of you remember the night the devil wrestled with you, but you made up your mind, and after you went all the way, you could turn around and say, hey devil, you lied to me. I've got it all. I've got it all. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm glad I'm free tonight. I'm glad I'm out of Egypt. I'm glad the devil was a lie. I need about 10 people that the devil's been telling you, you can't get free, to throw your hands in the air right now and give praise to God and tell that devil you're a liar. Praise God. God says, I've come down Moses, I've come to bring you out of the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptian. But not only have I come down to do that, but I've come to bring you up and out of it. But not only that, I've come to take you somewhere. I thank you, Brother Andrews. I think I may slow down. I've come to take you somewhere. I've come to tell you that He did more than come to break the bondage in your life. He come more than to set you free. He come more than to break the bondage so you can jump and scream and holler and shout and run. Come on here, twirl. Amen, dance, kick over the pews. Come on here. I love every bit of it. But He done more than just to cause me to do that. Hallelujah. He said, not only have I come to bring you out, I've come to take you somewhere. And I'm telling you, God dealt with my heart and said, I've got my people. Some are still stuck in the coming out process. The problem with God or with people, not God, is not the initial touch of God. Because, say amen, you're with me. It's not the initial touch that's the problem. Because you see the touch. I see kids pray in the altar, use a whole box of tissue. God touched them. They responded. God helped them and moved in their lives. See, the initial touch that night it happened, it's not the problem, but it's the coming out process. Stay with me now. I love to shout, but I know you may not shout with me, but we'll shout out a while. I used to think, Brother Baker, if you didn't shout every service, you wasn't in church. Till I found out something. Amen. Praise God. That old Indian proverb said, that guy walked up and said, I'm starving, would you help me? Said, I need a fish to eat. Old Indian looked at him and said, I don't have any. He said, I'll teach you how to fish. And the boy said to him, I don't want to learn how to fish. I want to eat now. Give me a fish. He said, no, sir. He said, I'm not going to give you a fish. I'm going to show you how to catch them. The young boy said, no, sir. I don't want to learn how to catch them. I want to eat. I'm hungry. I ain't eating days. Give me a fish, sir, if you don't mind. He said, no, son. Sit down right here. Get you this pole. Going to show you how to do it. Amen. Boy said, no, sir, I'm not going to learn how to fish. He said, son, if I give you a fish right now, you're going to eat it, get satisfied, but you'll be back here tomorrow wanting me to give you another fish. But if I can teach you how to fish, you won't have to beg nobody else in your life for another fish. You'll fish the rest of your life. Come on here. If God gives you enough to take care of you tonight, you're going to have to be back here tomorrow night begging for more. Come on here. Amen. I come to tell you, I want more than a shout. I want more than just a feel good. I want Him to teach me how. It's not the initial touch we have a problem with. It's the coming out process. It's when the sand got hot. It's when Pharaoh started after them. And they got out of their comfort zone that they wanted to run back to Egypt. Come on here. It wasn't the fact that God touched them. It wasn't the fact that God brought them out of the powerful hand. Come on, some of you know I'm right. Well, we're not shouting like we've been the last two nights. But we're here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My little baby girl, Kayla, she's my heartbeat. Only way to describe a child, somebody told me when I had my first one, said the only way to describe it is your heart is now outside your body. That's the truth. That girl got me wrapped around her little finger. Amen. She's my heartbeat. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? But I'm telling you, when she was born, she was used to the confounds of her mother's womb. I mean, she's used to being that small. My wife's a little girl woman. Amen. And she's small boned. And she was used to being confounded to that womb that weeks and months after she was born. The only way I could get her to sleep, Jesse couldn't do it. My wife couldn't do it. She'd give her to me. I'd place her beside me. And I tried everything. So finally one night, I said, come on, girl, go to sleep. I just laid my big old arm on top of her. Amen. Just started patting her. She went to sleep. And I got the dawning on me. She was missing that confinement. she was missing that bondage. Come on here. That tight spot that made her feel so comfortable. Come on here. Hallelujah. That's the reason why you stay in it long enough. You don't want to come out of it. Well, I'm preaching to you tonight. You stay in it long enough, you don't want to come out of it. Amen. But I'm telling you, as long as I kept her in a tight spot, she'd sleep like a baby. Move my arm, she wouldn't. But it wasn't long out of that, Brother Eastman, Brother Frazier. Amen. That all of a sudden she got to learning that she was free. And there wasn't a problem with being free. And now she's no longer comfortable being in bondage. But she got to learning that she could move that leg this way, and that leg that way, and the hand this way, and an arm that way. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about with your children? And once they find out how good freedom feels, you can't keep them seated. They want to run around the church. They want to climb all over the bed. Are you here with me? You know why? They've learned how to love freedom. Come on here. Are you helping me preach? Amen. The problem with a lot of people, when God brings them out, they're so used to having an excuse. They're so used to having a reason to be like they are. They're so used to the bondage that they don't know how to enjoy their freedom. But if you ever recognize whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and you learn you can move your leg and you can move your arm under the depth. Hallelujah. I come to ask you, if He sets you free, then why are you so bound down? I said, if He sets you free, then why? Somebody said, I can't worship because I'm bound. I couldn't sing tonight because I'm bound. Honey, bondage has to go. He's washed you in the blood. And I wish I could preach this like I feel. My body may be in bondage, but my spirit's free. Ask Paul and Silas. Ask John the Revelator, brother. Enjoyed that teaching. Amen. I said, ask John the Revelator. You know what John said? I'm on the Isle of Patmos. I'm drinking salt water and eating molded bread. But I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. My body's on a salt rock. My body's eating molded bread. But my spirit's in the third heaven. I come to... Great God of heaven, why do you want to live bound when He brought you to be free? I said, He brought you to be free. If you can be free anywhere, you ought to be able to be free in the house of God, among God's people. It's one thing I can't stand is intimidation. Come on here, you go in some camp meetings, you feel it. Come on here. You know why we love bondage? Because we lived in it so long. Am I boring y'all tonight? You see, He come to bring them out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. But the wilderness is the coming out process. The wilderness is to get the world out of you. Egypt out of you. And if He can get Egypt out of you, then He's going to take you into the land of Canaan. But He cannot take you into Canaan with Egypt in you. See, He's brought you physically out of it, but your mind's still in it. And every time God didn't answer you or answer them, what do they want to do? Run back to Egypt. Every time God didn't do a miracle, they wanted to run back to Egypt. They wanted to run back to bondage. Come on, is anybody helping me? Brother Eastman, I will it be all right if I take this towel off? Amen. I want you to know what it is. And see, the devil knows if he can keep you whooped in your mind, then it don't matter what else he does in your life. Boy, you're quiet on me. If he can keep you in bondage in your mind, he's got you right where he wants you. He wants you to keep that servant mentality. You've been a slave all your life. You'll always be a slave. You'll never come out. Are you here? Come on here. That's the reason why. Are you helping me preach tonight? Amen. That all of a sudden the devil comes in here. You've been brought out of Egypt. I mean, the power of God has set you free. He's broke the chains of bondage in your life. I mean, He's got you right where God's a moving in your life. But here you are in the land of the wilderness. Amen. And you're still a slave. Come on here. Am I right? Well, I've got depression and I can't get out of it. Come on here. You still got that servant mentality. Getting what I'm trying to say to you. Well, somebody hurt my feelings and you let the devil carry you around like a slave. You're the puppet dog on the devil's leash. You're walking around a blood-bought child of God and you got hurt feelings. You know why? You don't want to break that servant mentality. That devil don't want you to lose us, but you need to shout tonight, you're not my master anymore. You're not my master anymore. I'm not your slave. I don't belong to you. I said, I don't belong to you. You lost me in the land of Egypt, and you're not gonna. My God, they were out of Egypt, but Egypt still had a hold on them. They were out of Egypt, but Egypt still had a hold of them. Come on here. Let God send you a word. Come on.
Yeah.
Some we sit here and go. What'd he say? Let somebody hurt your feelings. It takes us 5 months to get it out of you. Somebody didn't shake your hand, it'll take us 5 months. Some people 5 years.
Yeah.
You can't worship. Try to. Raise your hand. Nope. Can't do it. You've been hurt. And you're running around. Oh, somebody ain't liking this. Because see, you love that mentality because it gives you an excuse for not worshiping. It gives you an excuse for not going where God wants to take you. Hallelujah. You let us preach a word from God and the Holy Ghost speak to you. You lose it 5 minutes, you get outside that door. But you get hurt. Come on here. You know why it's the turtle? Oh, God help. It's the turtle effect. Come on here. The turtle's got a soft side and a hard side. Anybody know that? Amen. You can throw a bunch of stuff at a turtle and it just bounce off his back. Amen. You can about run over him and not hurt him. But if you ever get him on his soft side, you can kill him. Come on here. I want you to know every one of us have got a hard side and a soft side. Woo! Are you listening to me? You let the preacher start preaching and we turn our hard side. It bounces off us like bouncing off a hard wall. But let somebody hurt our feet. It's soft side. Hallelujah. It hurts us. It gets inside of it. It tears us apart. You know what I found out in my life? I got a hard side and a soft side. So Brother Calicott, you know what I learned to do when I come to church? I turn my soft side up. When I leave the house of God, I turn my hard side. Hallelujah. Since time you quit letting the devil push you around, turn your hard shell. Is somebody done? Let them talk. Let them run their mouth. I'm free. I'm not about to let what somebody does. But I ain't about to let what somebody else does to me bind me. Come on here, bitterness, hallelujah, envy, strife, worldliness. Come on here. You're out of Egypt and you're in the wilderness, but you're still in bondage because of a servant mentality. Because you love that servant mentality. And if you ever realize how wonderful it is to be free. You listen to Pastor tonight, or Brother Greg. I'm used to Pastor. You listen to Brother Greg tonight. Amen. The devil knows if he can keep you in a servant mentality, you're never going to become who you ought to become. Sis, you can sing. You're anointed to sing. You're anointed to lead this altar service. Powerful. But if you didn't watch yourself, the devil could keep you in a servant mentality. Tell you you can't say. Tell you ain't nobody want to hear you. Amen. You done it the last 3 nights. Why are you going to do it again? Come on here. You listen to me. I'm not bragging on her leaving everybody else out. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, that devil will whisper in your ear and shut you down. Come on here. You know why? He wants to make you a slave. It don't matter if he's got you in Egypt or got you in the wilderness. He just don't want you to be. He wants you bound. Oh God, I'm going to get in trouble tonight. He wants you bound in religion. Come on here. I said he wants you bound in religion. But I'm telling you, I'm a wholeness man, but I'm not bound. I'm free. You want to know why? Listen to Pastor, or listen to Brother Greg just a minute. A bird don't have to fly to be a bird. He flies because he is a bird. A fish don't have to swim to be a fish. He swims because he is a fish. And I don't have to live right to be saved. I live right because I am saved. Hallelujah. I don't live by rules and regulations. I live by a lifestyle, honey. How come I shun to my head? God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I said, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I do what I want to do. I wear what I want to wear. I go where I want to go. But He changed me. He changed who I am. Somebody never had that on my head. I'm proud to be a wholeness boy. I'm proud to live right. I'm proud to be sanctified. I'm proud of the power of God in my life. It's not a have to. It's a want to. Lift your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm not in bondage. I'm free. When you're in bondage and you're trying to live wholeness in bondage, you get mad because everybody else ain't like you. You let a liberal person try to worship beside you, you get sold up, poked your bottom lip out. Bless God, that hypocrite's a shouting. You're still in bondage, honey. Are you hearing me preach tonight? I said, you're still in bondage. Because you're miserable. You want everybody else to be like you. Do I think everybody's got to be sanctified? Yes, sir. I believe in wholeness. You better believe. I believe you better got to live. Come on here. It's going to take it to go to heaven. I do, but I believe it's got to be something that happens in you. I said, I believe it's got to be something that happens in you. You can get our rule book and follow every dot. You can get our rule book and go down every bit of the line. But when you get through, you're going to be in bondage. But if you get born again and you get sanctified and you let God fill you with the Holy Ghost, you won't want this world anymore. You won't want to dress like them. You won't want to do what they do. Hallelujah. Well, you're not like me. Come on, I can shout right beside somebody who don't live what I do. Because I'm happy. I'm free. Oh, Brother Baker, I'm going to get in trouble. I was preaching, Brother Baker. They invited me to a chill tower. You know, there's a lot of diversities. If you think everybody does it the same, they don't. Now, I believe the Bible's the same. Bible wholeness is the same around the world. It's the same in Africa, Mexico, Guatemala, everywhere. And if it's Bible, they can live it in Guatemala. Say amen to me. Amen. I said if it's Bible, amen, you can live it around this world. Can you shout amen? I went to a church. They called me. You're going to have a child's or a kid's explosion is what they call it. I thought, Lord, what's a kid's explosion? Never had one then. It's children's night. They bust in kids from all over the city. I mean, they're reaching out to them. I'm telling you, I come in, had my girlfriend, she's my wife now. She's with me, her and her brothers. We're sitting on the front row. All of a sudden, the lights go down. I thought, what in the world are we going on now? And a guy come running out of the dark with a torch, screaming, "We're the light of the world." He turned somersaults and flips and everything else. Don't get quiet on me. I was visiting, amen. Then he dressed up like a clamp. And he come out doing somersaults going, "Give me a J! E! Give me an E! I'll show up. I hope y'all... I only got in trouble. Amen. I ain't got nothing. You dress up like clowns between you and God. Amen." I'm telling you, he's telling somersaults, got big red nose. He's shouting, "Give me a J." Then he went out and dressed up like a 6-foot dog and come running in there. I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and I got my girlfriend and her brothers. They've never been outside of Brother Lee Stanton's church. Y'all know him. They've never been outside his church, and they're just standing there going, "What in the world?" I said, "Just keep your mind, keep your eyes shut, and just praise him." Come on here, stay with me. You don't know what? I got my own little world, and I got to praising the Lord. I might not agreed with all of their ways of doing things. Are you understanding me? But I'm telling you, when he gave me that pulpit, me and my little wife of mine climbed on that stage. We sung like we would have sung here tonight. The power of God fell, heaven come down. I preached like I'm preaching to you. Had 40 kids get saved, wept and cried on that altar. You know what I could have done? Put my spoke in my arms, got a bad attitude, and said, "This is a bunch of hogwash," and showed myself. Are you understand? But I'm free. So you know what I did? I had myself a time in my liberty. And when I got through, went in to change my shirt, guess who's in the bathroom? The clown. Red nose and all. The red nose is in his hands, and his white makeups are running down his face, because his hot tears are pulling up on the sink. He turned around and looked at me. He said, "Sir, you got the real thing, don't you?" I said, "I tried to." He said, "Can you pray for me? I want what you have. I want the anointing you have." My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. We got the right thing, Brother Spencer. I said, "We got the right thing, Brother Frazier. But let's let it be in liberty. I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a servant." No longer a slave. I'm no longer a servant. I don't bow my head. See, it's your sister. Taught this morning or this evening, this afternoon. I keep saying evening, and everybody thinks I'm thinking about night. I'm calling evening afternoon. I've asked 3 people who's preaching in the evening, and they look at me and go, "You are." I said, "Well, afternoon then. Excuse me. We call it night service." Amen. Boy, she taught this morning or this afternoon on being contaminated. Hallelujah. She said, "I ain't contaminated because I go to the senior citizen building." Hallelujah. She said, "I'm contaminating them with the gospel." Hallelujah. Woo, come on here. We all hear lately the Lord's opened me a lot of doors in liberal churches. Don't ask me. I didn't brown nose to get there. Didn't ask to go there. I was preaching a country meeting. One of them come to hear me, heard me, and asked me to come to their church. And from that, it took off. I did not ask to be in their churches. I did not ask to preach their conventions. But when they called me, I gladly go. But what a lot of people don't know is they've not rode around in their cars and watched hot tears drip off of their chin onto their steering wheel saying, "We've lost it somewhere. And I wish I could come back to my roots. I wish I could come back to..." I had a man running 2,000 people, a multi-millionaire. I'm riding around his car, just preached for him. And he's crying like a baby, tears dripping. I asked my son, he was with me. He said, "I told my wife the other day, I'd just as soon give this church up tonight, turn it over to these people who want it. Go get me a storefront and go back to my roots." Hallelujah. You want to know why? He's hungry for what he one time had. I come to tell you, it's time the church lets this world know we're no longer in bondage. Yes, we live right. We're not bound to the flesh. We're not bound to sin. Can I preach another hour? I got asked to go to a youth. That's right. I got asked to preach a youth camp, brother. Man, I'm so far from where I need to be in this message. I got asked to preach a youth camp. Brother Calicott, I went. I thought, dear God, why am I here? I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was real bad. It was so bad. It was so bad. God help me. I mean, to tell you, they wouldn't let me preach. They took it over every night. I mean, it was just ungodly. They didn't have no rules. They said, we're going to get them in here. And I wanted to tell them, I just left the camp last week. They had 400 kids, and they had strict rules. You got no rules, and you ain't got but 40. Come on here. Don't tell me that your no rules is working. I'm not criticizing 40 kids at a camp. But what I'm trying to say, they said, if you don't have no rules, even you gain them. They didn't have, come on here. So don't nobody get kicked off on me on that one. What I'm trying to show you, kids want to come to camp, they're coming to camp. Well, they didn't let me preach all week long. Finally, I've never left the building in my life, but I almost did that night. I said, oh, they done took over the youth leader's daughters up there, and she said, come on, let's praise the dude on the cross. And when she said that, I grabbed my Bible and headed out the door. I grabbed my Bible and I went down the side aisle, and I was almost to the door when the Holy Ghost said, don't you step another step. I've got you here for a reason, and you stay here. And I'm telling you, the next morning was the close of that camp. I cried all night long. I said, I can't handle this. This is so far out of the Scripture. The next morning they had a board meeting. They said, Pastor, we want you here. I said, all right. They set me down at the head of the table. Said, we want you to tell us what we're doing wrong. You preach a lot of youth camps. We want you to tell us where we're messing up. I said, do you really? I said, do you really want me to? I said, the first thing you need to do is separate your boys and girls. I said, ain't right for them. They're about to stay in the same rooms together all week long. I said, it's not right for them to sit under the tabernacle under quilts and covers. Come on here. And not have anybody over them. I said, you're asking for lust to take place. Come on, you're looking at me, but the Lord helped me and honored me. That morning they tried to take over again, Brother Frazier, but the Holy Ghost shut them down. God gave me that service and allowed me to preach. I'm not bragging. I promise you, I'm not bragging on me. But I preached and the Lord moved and helped us. And I said, I tell you what, young kids. I said, I'm going to be preaching tomorrow night at a youth rally in such and such church. We'd love for you to come. I left there crying thinking, what in the world did I even come here for? Now, you told me to stay here. I stayed. Now, you got to show me why I was here. I'm telling you, that was on Thursday day. Amen. That Friday night was youth rally. Amen. I invited all of them from that youth camp. I had a quarterback there from a certain city, from a certain school. Are you listening to? Had three scholarships to Mississippi State, Southern Miss, and there was another big college for him to have a full ride paid scholarship to be a quarterback. He's a head star in that town. He was there on Thursday. Are you listening to me? Friday night when I started the youth rally, a busload out of busloads, over 360 something kids showed up from that area. Are you listening to me? The whole football team, he went and got, because he's so popular, went and got the whole football team. The whole cheerleading squad showed up. Come on, you're getting quiet on me. Hallelujah. And guess what? We had them on good ground. It's a good old church. It's one of them grannies there still had that old-fashioned beehive there. That beautiful hair. I'm telling you, I love it. Are you listening to me? She's sitting on the second row, Brother Calico. The power of God got to move my little wife. We were dating. She was there with me. Amen. All of a sudden, that little homeless one jumped up. Amen. She started shouting. Amen. That hairdo was flopping. I looked at her and I said, Mama. And what I didn't know, it was her grandson who was the quarterback. And his cousin was there. Amen. She was sitting there crying. I looked over and I said, Grandma, won't you take her back by? Remember that message I told you last night about daddy's donkeys are missing? That's what I was preaching that night. Amen. That lady with the beehive. I said, grab your granddaughter right there and tell her you're going to show her the way to Zion. When she did, the power of God fell in that building. Her granddaughter got to crying. That quarterback jumped up and screamed to the top of his lungs, I'll give it all up tonight if you'll give me this. If I can have this, I'll give it all up tonight. You talking about praying, Brother Baker? It's me and my little girl. She's my girl. We was crawling over kids praying. Not only did they pray that night, the whole football team hit the floor. the cheerleading squad hit the floor. Not only did they pray through that night, when they got back to school, in 3 weeks, they started a 7-something prayer meeting. They so messed their school up that their principal called one of the preachers in the area and said, "I want to know what's happened to these kids." Hallelujah. Said, "They stirred my school up." He said, "Well, they went to a youth camp, they went to a youth rally." He said, "Who was preaching it?" He said, "Whoever he is, I'm not bragging on me, it's all God." He said, "But I want to give him an hour of school time if he'll come." And one of the biggest counties in Mississippi, are you listening to me? Amen. For Crystal Myth, the principal of the high school opened the floor, called them all in the auditorium, and gave me an hour worth of time to preach this gospel. Are you here to help me tonight? Why? Why? This gospel works. This salvation works. It's real. I said it's real. I'm through. Hallelujah. He did not save you for you to live in wilderness. Man, I've got to stop. It's not God's will for you to live wandering in the wilderness. Stay with me. How many give me 15 more minutes? Thank you. Thank you. I'm closing. Listen to me. Some of you people are just wanderers, Brother Eastman. They do nothing but live and die. The worst thing God could ever do to you is not judge you in a car wreck or a disease. The worst thing God could do is just turn you loose to live an empty void life. And all you become is wanderers. Wandering from church to church. No goals, no purpose, no reason. Stay with me if I say this. We have used fear and intimidation to get our kids saved. And it don't work. You don't get saved, you're going to die in a car wreck. You don't get saved, something's going to happen to you. And we preach that fear. I've done it in my younger days. I preached on hell, and I still preach on hell. I preach, and this could be your last chance. That's right. I'm telling you, the silent judgment of God is greater than you going out of here dying in a car wreck. But young man, it would be for God to turn you loose. And you live 50 years. Just a one. He looked at the children of Israel. Because of their doubt and unbelief, they would not go into the land of Canaan. And he just turned them loose. They wandered for the next 40-something years. Anybody still with me? And died. They just lived and died. Nothing. Wandering in religion. Wandering in it and dying. It's not God's will that you just survive. God did not bring you out of Egypt for you to wander in the wilderness. Can you stay with me?
Yeah.
God, God ain't saved you, young man. Come on here. So you go to the mall, and by the time you're there an hour, you got to come home and pray through because you got a problem with lust. Come on, we preach years on the girls better straighten up their dress because the boys are going to lust. I'm on here. I believe in dressing right and modest, but I'm telling you, somebody needed to preach to that boy about his lust problem. Say amen to me.
Amen.
Well, we spend our time straightening out. Come on here, girls, you got to dress. And I believe in modesty dress. I'm not taking nothing from that. But what I'm saying is, we preach that so hard and so strong that we never dealt with that man and his lust problem. I'm telling you, it ain't the will of God for you to come on here. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me now. I've heard holiness preachers in the pulpit get up and say, come on here, it's just your malehood that you wrestle like that, while they nail that poor woman to the wall and never deal with that man and his problem. You don't know why they wrestling with the problem themselves. In more trouble tonight than I could shake a stick at. Hallelujah. You listen to me? Come on here. That man wants his wife to dress. Come on here. Come on here. Wants her to dress. Amen. Clothe herself from head to toe. Looks like she fell off last year's wagon. While he walks in looking like he just walked out of JCPenney magazine. Amen. Shoes shine. Shoes. Hair slick to the left. Come here. Looks like he's a model Philadelphia lawyer. Come on here. And then want to nail every woman. You might as well help me preach. I believe you ought to dress right, honey. I believe you ought to dress modestly. Are you hearing me? I believe your clothes need to be not tight. I can preach it if you want me to preach it. But I come to tell you, it don't, amen, listen to me, sir. It ain't going to solve your problem, young man, if a girl dresses right. Because you know what's going to happen? You may not lust out of her, but you'll lust out of everything else that walks down the hall. Somebody help me preach. Well, I get in trouble for preaching like this. I've been called worldly because I preach like this. But this is better holiness than regular. Come on, this ain't worldly preaching. I come to tell you, you can be free. I said you can be free. You ain't got to wander in that wilderness. I said you ain't got to wander in that wilderness. I believe you dress modest. I believe you dress right. Come on here. I believe you dress according to Bible basic, the Bible holiness. Are you listening to me? But I believe you can be pretty too. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. I love it when they walk up to my wife and say, you're one of the prettiest women I've ever seen in my life. I walk away from there smiling with my head held high. Hallelujah. I like it. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? When worldly women walk up and ask my wife, how do you fix your hair like that? Come on here. I think we are. Come on here. The world ought to see a beauty in us. They ought to see something they want. Well, I'm preaching right tonight. Wonders. Wonders. I got some friends right now that are good boys. Powerful young men. Got powerful passion. Powerful ministries. But they're wandering in a wilderness. They're wrapped in a movement who will only let them fellowship their fellowship. And they call me continually because they said, if I go to so-and-so, my pastor said I'll be worldly. I said, if you got something that you can't step outside your own ranks to preach, then you ain't got something that's going to take you to heaven. Because if you can't live amongst the world, come on, I mean the pastor tells them they can only visit their family in certain seasons. Now, if you ain't got enough of God that you can't sit down at a family reunion and lead the family reunion still on fire for God, then you ain't got nothing. Woo! God help me preach tonight. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm telling you, they're just wondering. One of them, this is what kills me. One of them sit and cry and talk about Africa. God sent me to Africa. God sent me to Africa. He married a little girl, said, I'm going to Africa. And it's been 7 years now, and he's got caught up in this fellowship. I'm sitting in their house. They're part of my family. My wife's side. I sit in her house, Brother Calcott. He's talking about how good of services they've been having lately. And I'm sitting here, sure as the world, Brother Baker, and the Holy Ghost fell on me. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We just sitting there talking at a reunion. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell on me and said, ask him about Africa. I turned around and I said, I want to know about Africa. He broke down and started crying. Come on here. Because he's just become satisfied. Wondering. I'm closing, I promise. But God brought you out to take you in. I normally don't preach this long, brothers, as y'all ain't heard me in a while. The wilderness. How long? How many knows I've been preaching about 45 minutes every night? In the wilderness. But God says, I didn't come to leave you in the wilderness. I come to bring you to Canaan.
And some of you ain't going to like this, but if you had enough to shout and run you around this building a while ago, you ought to be having enough to shout and run you right now in the preaching of the word. Because if you ain't got enough to make you shout and preach another word, you need to sit down while I go. Because the same Holy Ghost is here while it goes here right now. Come on here. It bothers me. People shout the whole time singing's on and not even say amen when the preacher's preaching. Come on, you're going to get quiet. I'm being mean, ain't I? I'm sorry. He's going into the land. He's not called you to survive. He's called you to thrive in the land of Canaan. Instead of you going, oh, I need a breakthrough. Please give me a breakthrough. He wants you to live in a breakthrough. Come on, don't get too quiet on me. Instead of you out there having to beg, oh, you know what? Come on here. They had to help us fight our battles. Help us fight our battles. Oh, God, help us fight our battles. But in the land of Canaan, they fit their own battles. Hallelujah. God didn't save you to take care. Come on here. To make you survive and come to your ever whimpering cry. He saved you to get you out of Egypt through the will and get you in the land of Canaan that you could stand on your own two feet and say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost if you hear. Listen, you stay with me this whole message. Stay with me now because it's going to get better. I come to tell you, sinner, you had to say, oh, God, I need a breakthrough. Oh, God, I need a breakthrough. God wants you to walk out of your house, get you a bucket, and dip you a breakthrough out of the land of milk and honey. You need a move of God? Just get your bucket. Go get yourself. You need a move of God? Just step out of your house and get. Are you here? You ain't got to beg God to pray. You can live in a land of Canaan in your life. Stay with me, I'm close. Keep me up, brother. I want you to listen to me. The Bible says that when Jacob laid down his head that night on a stone, that the Bible says that he saw the angels ascending and descending. Am I right? He saw an open heaven, angels ascending and descending, and the presence of God was there. Are you hearing me? When he woke up, what did he say? Surely the presence of the Lord was here, and I knew it not. What do you call that place? The house of God. The gate of heaven. Stay with me. So what can we say is the gate of heaven? An open heaven, angels ascending and descending, and the presence of the Lord. That's the gate of heaven. Can't you say that? That's what he said. He said, surely this is the gate of heaven. Well, prove it, Brother Atkins, from the New Testament, all right? Jesus is standing there. Andrew's found him. He finds Philip. Are you listening to me? Philip goes, finds Nathanael out under a fig tree. And Philip says, Nathanael, you got to come see him. I met a man. He's the one Moses talked about. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. Nathanael said, how do you know? He said, just come see for yourself. Am I right, brethren? Am I right, Brother Bailey? You study, you're a good teacher. Am I right? What happened, Brother Eastman, as he started coming? Nathanael starts walking, and about the time he gets to the Lord, Jesus said, amen. That's a mighty man, and a man whom no guile's found. Amen. Nathanael said, you know me? He said, yeah, I know. You think I know? I saw you when you were sitting on that fig tree where Philip ever called you. Nathanael said, thou art him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what Jesus said to him? He said, marvel not, son, that I just told you I saw you, because you're going to see greater things than these. He said, after this, you shall see what? The heavens open up, angels ascending and a descending upon the Son of Man, and he was the embodiment of the Father. So you know what he's saying? I am the gate of heaven. I am the gate of heaven. He walked in the marketplace and opened up the gate. He walked into death and opened up the gate. He walked to a blind man and opened up the gate. Hey! When he walked into a place, life came. Why? He's the gate of heaven.
guess what? For the sake of time, guess what he said to us? I'm going away. But I'm going to send you another comforter. He's going to be in you. Hallelujah. I'm the light of the world while I'm here. But when I leave here, you're the light of the world. You're going to become the gateway to heaven. Hallelujah. You know why things are happening in that senior citizen building? You're the gate of heaven. And when you walk into that dead life, you open up the gate. That's why Peter and John said, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, sit down, sir. Such as I have, give I to thee. They opened up the gate of heaven and said, you can be healed. Rise up and walk. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. It ain't just here at this camp meeting. God wants you to live in Canaan. God wants you to live with a gay atmosphere. You can open up the gate of heaven in your school. You can open up the gate of heaven on your job. I ain't got to find the preacher. Well, this is pastoral preaching, ain't it? I'm sorry. I hope you're enjoying it. I'm hoping God's helping you. Because I get so tired. Well, I'm going to try to make it. Find you. Brother Calcott, I was up preaching a meeting. I was preaching a revival for a preacher. I was up, man, God was moving. I got up and started singing. The church was real kind of dead. I'm up singing, preaching my heart out, preached all week. I'm up there singing, Sail On, O Ship of Zion. He got up behind me. He's talking while I'm singing the altar service. He's going, yes, people. This ship's about to go down, people. If we can just hold on, we're going to make it, people. I said to myself, dear God of heaven, no wonder they're dead at 4 o'clock in the morning. He thinks they're all going down. I'm not trying to be comical. But what I'm trying to tell you, that's the junk we fed our people. We've caused them to become servant mentality. Come on here, they don't believe they can live in a move of God. They don't, come on, I know you're going to go through things. I said, I know you're going to go through things. But you ain't going to have the preacher to hold his hand under your chin. You can make it. I said, you can make it. You are more than a conqueror. I said, you're more than a conqueror. I come to tell this, you ain't mentioned. I come to tell this fellowship, you're more than a conqueror. You're more than a survivor. You're more than a conqueror. If all we can do is survive, we are no different than this world. You get a man a strong will and a strong mind, and he can survive anything. Men cut their arms off to live. These two boys got caught in salt water for 3 days. They ate 150 jellyfish to stay alive. Drunk salt water. Come on here, you listen to me. And made it because they wanted to live. You got a will to live, you can live. You can survive. God showed me that last summer and I preached it in my youth camps. God said anybody can survive who gets the mentality. But I'm not come that men might survive. Because see, human minds with the power of will can survive the most obscure of circumstances. But you know what he said in Ephesians? He said, now according to the power that worketh in us, hallelujah, now that you're born again, what's this power come to do? He said, the only way I can explain it is to show you what it did in him. It brought him up out from the dead. In other words, he can bring you from the most obscure circumstances. And the Bible said, set him in a heavenly place. And the Bible said, put his foot, amen, are you listening to me? All things under his feet. Hallelujah. In other words, Jesus didn't survive. He climbed on top of it, placed the flag, and conquered it. Some of you, all you've done is survive. But I've come to tell you tonight, you can conquer what you survived. Hey, great God of heaven! The three Hebrew children didn't just make it through the fire. I said they just didn't make it through the fire. They just didn't survive it. But they come out with not even the smell of smoke on their lives. They didn't even smell it. I come to tell you, you can come through it. the will of God. That's the Christian experience. That's the power of this Holy Ghost. It's come to do more than make me dance. Come to do more than make me shout. It's come to make me a conqueror in a world that can only survive. Hallelujah. Stand all over the building there. A little woman of mine, she went to export 2 years. She wanted to come up here so bad she misses Pensacola.